The issue that I'm supposed to discuss is the question of tzaddikim. Tzaddik. What's the role of tzaddikim in our lives? What's the place of tzaddikim in our lives? And I decided to do something a little different. This is basically a concordance, it's a concordancia of words from the Shas. And what we printed up is like 4 or 5 pages, wherever you have in the Tanakh, in the Shas, and in the Zayar, the word tzaddik and tzaddikim. And you'll look through the list, you'd find a lot of the stuff you've heard over the years, it's all collected here, you can look up the source. And some of the ideas perhaps you've never thought of, it's very fascinating. If you're intrigued by this, you read these 3 or 4 or 5 pages, you'll learn an enormous amount about what Taita says about tzaddikim. If you look through your pages, you'll see numbers. I believe what is by your number 8 is by me number 1. But aside from that, the numbers are in order. And I'm going to go through this list. Ubahagdama, I want to give you a preface, a very, very important introduction. And that is, the Halakha of Baal Shem Tov created Chassidus. He invented Chassidus. It's a new way of serving Hashem. To be sure, nobody invents anything. Right? The only people who make inventions are the people who say stupid things. Because stupid things have to be invented. God didn't create them. Anything real, anything intelligent, anything substantive that any person creates came from before. The Baal Shem Tov created Chassidus, to be sure he had a Rebbe. The Baal Shem Tov was not a man in a vacuum. The Baal Shem Tov didn't have a father, didn't have a mother, but he had a Rebbe. Who was his Rebbe? Achia HaShiloini, who was a Navi from the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, who came to the Baal Shem Tov and taught him Teda every day of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, except Shabbos, when he would go home. For 10 years, to prepare the Baal Shem Tov to be the Rebbe of Chassidus. So, it took the holy Baal Shem Tov 10 years to learn the whole Teda, according to Chassidus. What the Baal Shem Tov writes is that on his 26th birthday, Chai Elul, Tuf Pei Dalet, that would be 1726, we started to learn Bereishis, that's what he writes. 10 years later exactly, Chai Elul, Tuf Tzadik Dalet, we finished the words, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, V'niskalesi, and I was revealed. We finished the Chumash every year. It took the Baal Shem Tov 10 years to learn the Chumash according to Chassidus, and then Chassidus appeared. Chassidus is a whole new Judaism. I mean, it's not new at all, but it's completely new at the same time. It's the same Yiddish guy, the same Teda, the same Mitzvah, same Abish, the same Matan Teda, the same Moshe Rabbeinu. Still, Chassidus has a unique spin, has a new way of approaching everything. One of the central concepts in Chassidus is the role of the tzaddik, the place of the tzaddik in our lives. In the Hayom Yom it says, in the Hayom Yom it's written, Chassidus came to remove the loneliness from the world, the Elendkeit von Welt. Until Chassidus there was a loneliness. Why was there a loneliness? The tzaddik, the Gaon, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Reish Mesifta, the holy Jew, the big tzaddik with the great neshama and the great mind, was alone. People couldn't relate to him. What do you mean, before Chassidus, people didn't have a connection to tzaddikim? The answer is they did have a connection to tzaddikim, but they didn't know how to relate to tzaddikim. Tzaddikim had their own lives. Ordinary people were alone. Chassidus broke this barrier and made it possible for people like us, simple people, to have a relationship with tzaddikim. Doesn't mean we understand tzaddikim. Doesn't mean that we know what a tzaddik is, but we can have a connection to a tzaddik. This is central to Chassidus. And one of the critical teachings of Chassidus, Emunas Tzadikim, Emunas Chachomim, the idea of going to a tzaddik, trusting, having emuna in the power of Ruach HaKodesh, and the Ruach HaTzaddik, is essential to the teachings of Chassidus. I'll tell you a Chavdal Teva story. The Mittler Rebbe wrote a letter after his father passed away. Today is the Yartza to the Alter Rebbe. He wrote a long letter describing everything that happened. And the story begins, of course, when the Alter Rebbe ran away from the Ponyan, which took place in Elul the year before, 6 months, 5 months before. And he writes to his friend, to the Moshe Meisels, that when we left Liadi, we traveled from place to place, we came to a certain place where we spent Rosh Hashanah. And he writes, my father was very bitter. My father was very, very upset. My girls, it's hard to imagine what it must feel like to be around the Rebbe. And the Rebbe is nervous. The Rebbe doesn't know. You know, we all lean on the Rebbe. As long as the Rebbe is around and the Rebbe knows what's going on, we don't have to know. But when the Rebbe acts unsure, when the Rebbe acts afraid, It's like not having an earth to stand on. There's no rocks under your feet. It's very unsettling. And for a long time, says the Mittler Rebbe, my father was very disturbed, very unsettled by what's going on. And finally, one day, he called me and he said to me, Bonaparte is going to lose. Bonaparte is Napoleon, the French. What happened after my father told me Bonaparte was going to lose? The French ran through Russia like it wasn't there. They conquered Russia in no time at all. And they were winning and winning and winning. So the Mittler Rebbe writes, I came to my father, the Mittler Rebbe, and I said to my father, Tate, Vu is dein Nevuah, what happened to your words? And the Alter Rebbe looked at me and he said, Vu is dein Emunah. Where is your Emunah? The Alter Rebbe told the Mittler Rebbe, where is your Emunah? I said Bonaparte is going to lose, and Bonaparte lost. But even for the Mittler Rebbe, the situation was so dire that he questioned the Alter Rebbe. And perhaps a simple chassid would have had no questions, it's possible. But this is a yesod in chassidus, the Emunah Tzaddik. What I think is the most important thing for people to understand is, Tzaddikim are not just better versions of us. You know, I'll be honest, I hope I don't offend anybody. Amongst Misnagdim always talk about Tzaddikim and Gedolim. But the concept of a Tzaddik by Misnagdim is, you work a little harder, you become a Tzaddik. You'll do a little more, you'll sleep a little less, you become a Tzaddik. It's not that way. It's not that way. Tzaddikim are made from different stuff. Tzaddikim look like us. They walk like us, they eat like us. They're born like us, they pass away like us, they suffer like us. But tzaddikim are completely different. They're made of a different stuff. Tzaddikim are not just better versions of ourselves. Tzaddikim are God's representation in this world. The Eibishter gives Yidden tzaddikim to help us serve the Eibishter. And of course, a difficult time warrants a bigger tzaddik to do bigger things to help Klal Yisrael. But don't think every person has to try and become a Beinoni. But the tzaddik, and especially a big tzaddik, this is a pashta matana from the Eibishter. The Eibishter doesn't give to the person. He gives to the world. When the Eibishter creates a tzaddik and puts him in this world, he doesn't put him here for himself. He puts him here for us. So, we have 10 entries, and I would love for you to follow with me. The first entry is on page 1622, the second from the top, where you have your 8. That's where I made my 1. I picked 10 entries. I could have picked any 10. There's so many beautiful ones. But the 10 I chose give you a cross-section. You've got a bunch of different thoughts about tzaddikim. Number one, who is a tzaddik? Forget about me and you. Forget about what tzaddikim do for us. Who and what is a tzaddik? Entry one, tzaddikim yesh lehem taiva. Okay, let the myth be broken. Everybody should know that tzaddikim are bali taiva. You like, what do you like? What do you like? Huh? You like to look at food and want it and not eat it, right? That's what you like. To eat it and not have any calories, right? What do you like? You like, what do you like? Anybody? Pizza? I don't know. To go out and eat in a restaurant? Tzaddikim have a taiva too. They have a desire. Umat ha-rosan. What do tzaddikim desire? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzaddikim obsess about the Eibishter like you obsess about your clothes. Tzaddikim obsess about the Eibishter like you obsess about your midwinter vacation or about your camp or about... Tzaddikim are obsessive about Hashem. They have a taiva for Hashem. What does that mean? They're obsessed. A tzaddik is jumpy. He needs the Eibishter, just like we need all the wonderful things that we consider that important. Tzaddikim are obsessed with the Eibishter. And of course, the best example of this is the Alter Rebbe himself. The Alter Rebbe obsessed about the Eibishter. The story goes, girls, Alter Rebbe was arrested and put in jail. And he was accused of wanting to be a king of the Jews. Why was he accused of wanting to be king of the Jews? Because he used to send a lot of money to Israel. Why was he sending money to Israel? Because there were Hasidim living in Israel who had no money. They couldn't support themselves. Israel in those days was a desert. And the Alter Rebbe raised lots of money, sent it to Israel to support the Hasidim living in Eretz Israel. Israel at that time was governed by the Ottoman Turks, by the Ottoman Empire. Russia and the Ottoman Empire were at constant odds. They were constantly fighting. So someone got this idea that the Alter Rebbe is sending money to the Ottoman Turks, and the Ottoman Turks are planning a revolt. The Jews all over Russia are going to make a revolution. They're going to kill the king, take over the country. They're going to give it to the Ottoman Turks, and in reward for this, they're going to get Eretz Yisrael, and the king of the Jews will be the Alter Rebbe. Now, if that sounds ridiculous, then your head is on straight. But this is what the accusation was. They accused the Alter Rebbe wanted to be a king. So they asked the Alter Rebbe, do you want to be a king? He said, no. What's he going to say, yeah? So they had to examine the Alter Rebbe. They had to figure out what the Alter Rebbe was thinking without telling them. So they hired what you would call today a psychoanalyst. A smart, smart man who could listen to a person's words and read between the lines. This psychoanalyst came to the Alter Rebbe, talked to him for a very, very long time, asked him lots of questions, had a long discussion. His whole purpose was to get into the Alter Rebbe's head, to think what the Alter Rebbe is thinking. When he finished his examination, he came out and he wrote a report, and he concluded that it's true. The Alter Rebbe wants to be a king of the Jews. So they asked him, how do you know? How do you know? He didn't tell you, how do you know? So he said a very interesting thing. I met this man, and inside of him there's an urgency. There's an obsession. He wants something so much he's sick about it. He's called Choylas Ava. He's sick from desire. There's something he wants so much it makes him sick. And the psychiatrist said, no human being can want anything as much as he wants, much as Alter Rebbe wants, except power. Except for power. So this guy said, he wants so much, the only thing he possibly wants is power. And of course the Alter Rebbe had a lot of trouble because of this assessment, because of this conclusion. But the Alter Rebbe was asked that he should explain this desire. And the Alter Rebbe said, it's true, I do have this obsession. But my obsession is not to be a king, but ve'im chalecha fatzti. To become one with the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe said all the time, the Alter Rebbe, when he would daven, would sometimes go into a dveikus, and he would mamash roll on the floor. And if people would listen to his dveikus, they would hear how he's saying, I don't want anything, I don't want Gan Eden, I don't want Ilan Hava, I want you. The Alter Rebbe had a taiva, had a desire, and he couldn't get it. You need an outfit, you go to your parents, you harass them, you get money, you buy an outfit, then you want another one. The Alter Rebbe couldn't get what he wanted. He wanted Atzmus. He wanted to be one with Hashem. That's the first entry. The next one is on the next page, 1623, the second from the top. Okay? You guys have learned two prakim of Tanya, that much I know. And it says, Tzadikim nikru nefesh achas. Tzadikim are called one soul. How many souls are we? Two souls. So this idea that says in Tanya about killing Yetzer Hara, says in the Medrash, Tzadaitan de achas. Because Tzadikim have only one voice. We have two voices. We're torn. Right? There's a part of us that wants to do the right thing, as difficult as it is. And there's a part of us that wants to have fun, that wants to be babyish and short-sighted and immediate, right? And even when we do a good thing, the good things that we do are not perfect because there's a part of us that's saying, why are you wasting your time? Why are you bothering with nonsense? Tzadikim have... Could you imagine? Let's be honest. Could you imagine not having Yetzer Hara? I can't. But could you imagine not having Yetzer Hara? What would we be like? I could see some of you thinking, although you're not going to say it, life would be kind of boring. Without a Yetzer Hara, what would be the drive? What would be the impetus for life? Now you have two drives. You're torn. You're fighting. So even when you do a good thing, you have to fight to do it. And even when you do a bad thing, you got to deal with the guilt of doing it. If you have only one nefesh, one mind, one day, or one soul, it's a completely different existence. Don't think that tzaddikim are just a better version than me and you. They're different creations. And Hashem did not create tzaddikim for a tzaddikim. Hashem created every person in this world to work hard. And working hard means having a Yetzer Hara. Why did the Eibishter create a tzaddik? Because his hard work is us. His hard work is Yidden, is Chassidim. But he himself is Nefesh Achas. He has no struggle. Okay, that's entry two. Now, let's move along. Where's entry three? Entry three is on page 1621. Okay? 1621, it's the fifth entry from the top of the page, and I'm reading. So far we discussed what tzaddikim are. Now we're going to discuss how tzaddikim relate to Hashem, and I'm reading inside. Tzaddikim, afalpi shakadosh baruch hu maftichon, Hashem promises them, Hashem secures them, Hashem guarantees them, einon poirkin yira, they never stop being afraid. I have to tell you an aside, a story. when the bombs were falling on Varshe in World War II, you read about it? It was you know what I'm talking about? In the beginning of the war, when the Nazis in Machman bombed the Jewish sector of Varshe, they killed thousands of people. When the bombs were falling on the Jewish sector of Varshe, the Yitzchak was in a wheelchair. And he was being schlepped from place to place. Everybody was hysterical, hyper-nervous. The Friedrich Rebbe was unusually calm. It was almost surreal. It was frightening how calm he was. He was very bitter. He cried a lot, but he was very calm. His mother was still alive, the Rebbe Sishtana Sada. She was an old lady. She had just broken her hip. The Rebbe Sishtana Sada was in a bed. And she was very, very agitated. She was very, very nervous. I mean, who wouldn't be? If she was next to the Friedrich Rebbe, she was totally calm. She knew. She said, nothing is going to happen to the son, to her son. She said, nothing is going to happen to the Friedrich Rebbe. If I'm near my son, I'm okay. The moment they were separated, she became very agitated and nervous. As long as she was right near the Friedrich Rebbe, she was completely calm. She knew that nothing bad is going to happen to her. The Eibishter guards Tzadikim. I'll tell you two cute little stories. This is an amazing story. It was once a cold winter day, a cold winter diketog. The Friedrich Rebbe was then a young man. He wasn't yet that Rebbe. He was the principal of the yeshiva. And he walked outside, and he saw a bocher without a coat. And the Friedrich Rebbe was in a shirt. He didn't even have a sweater. And he screams to this bocher, he says, Bedel, was geist aruma na mantel, ken sich farkilin. Better, why are you walking around without a coat? You can get sick. Mir Hitman, I am being watched. Okay, the Friedrich Rebbe told him, put on a coat, it's cold. That bocher, in a short while, became cold, not physically. He dropped Yiddishkeit completely. And the Friedrich Rebbe's comment to him was not about his winter coat. The Friedrich Rebbe said, every Jew needs protection. We all are vulnerable to the Nisyonis of Elam Hazeh. You have to have a coat. You can't go out into the world without protection. And the Rebbe was saying to him, you're cavalier, you're casual, you're not afraid of Elam Hazeh. And the Rebbe, this bracha completely went fry. And the Friedrich Rebbe said, I'm okay, I'm being guarded. Says, the Medrash Einan Perkin Yireh. Tzadikim have nothing to be afraid of. They're afraid anyway. Tzadikim have nothing to be afraid of. The Eibishter watches them. They're afraid anyway. Why? Tzadikim are not afraid of getting hurt. Tzadikim not afraid of making a mistake. Tzadikim are afraid because the Eibishter is very real. We're afraid of doing Avedis. And Rebbe is not afraid of doing Avedis. But the oil, the burden of Hashem, sits on top of his head. There are many, many stories to this effect. I'm going to tell you a hergish. I'll tell you a personal feeling. I want to give you a homework. There's a video, a film, they gave it out, Jen gave it out a few times, of the Rebbe doing Siddur Kiddushin. The Rebbe doing the chuppah by Rabbi Lou's wedding. The Rebbe comes to the chuppah. The Rebbe is very, very serious. Very, very, very serious. And for one moment, for one instant, the Rebbe looks up. For a very short time, he looks up to the heavens. Mamish, a half a second, looks to the heavens. And I've watched that piece of film over and over and over again. I grew up watching the Rebbe. Very, very often, the Rebbe would look up. Look at the ceiling. Who's he looking at? At the beams of 770? At the bad plumbing? What's he looking at the ceiling? My feeling is, the Rebbe, Begashmis didn't have a Rebbe. We didn't look up. We looked at the Rebbe. The Rebbe looked up. The Rebbe always remembered if you watch videos of the Rebbe very, very frequently looked up. The Eibishter is above him. The Rebbe is not afraid of doing any Avedis. But Tzadikim, Einam, Perkin, Oil Yira, the biggest Tzadikim, they have nothing to be afraid of. But the fact that Hashem sits on them makes them tremble. And I think you should think about it. The next one is four. Tzadikim, Afalpi Sheyesh Lahem Litleis B'Maaseihem HaTovim. Tzadikim have plenty of chusim, plenty of excuses. The Eibishter owes them plenty of goodies. There's many, many reasons why the Eibishter should be nice to them. Ein Mevakshim Me'es HaMokim. They never ask of Hashem Ela Matnas Chinam. Only a Matana Chinam. What does Chinam mean? From the Eibishter's benevolence. From the Eibishter's kindness. The Eibishter's good-heartedness. Right? Where does this Medrash come from? Does anybody know this is mentioned in Rashi? Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the Pasuk says, Vo'eschanan el Adeshem. Moshe Rabbeinu is davening to the Eibishter. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu had a shortage of chusim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Jew there was. He says to the Eibishter, Eibishter, I want you to let me go into Eretz Yisrael. But not because I'm a tzaddik, and not because I took Yidden out of Mitzrayim, not because they gave him the Torah, not because I suffered with their kvetching and complaining for 40 years. I want you to do this for me because you're the Eibishter. Tzaddikim don't say to the Eibishter, give me because I deserve. Tzaddikim say, give me because you're the Eibishter. Tzaddikim has so many reasons. The Eibishter owes them a lot of stuff. But tzaddikim are smart. What does tzaddikim understand? What does tzaddikim understand? That if a Yid serves the Eibishter, who did whom a favor? Who did whom a favor? A person once told me, a Yid in the Cheltenham Hall, that he went with his wife into Yechidus to the Rebbe. And a simple Jew with a simpler wife. Simple people, but it works. Being simple has a lot of advantages. Today the guy is very wealthy. He's a multimillionaire. And he worked very hard for Parnassa. And his wife complained to the Rebbe, there's not enough Parnassa. So the Rebbe says, you have to give more tzedakah. So she says, we give more tzedakah. So the Rebbe says, you have to give even more. She says, we give even more tzedakah. She argued with the Rebbe. I deserve it. And the Rebbe's brachas of Bekoyim, he became very, very wealthy. Now, not every chassid is that foolish, childish, to disagree. The Rebbe says, give more tzedakah, tell him I give already. But it worked. It worked. He told me it worked 100%. Chutzpah klapashmaya mahane. If you have chutzpah to the Eibishter, it works. But tzaddikim know that when you give more tzedakah, you're not doing the Eibishter a favor. You're doing yourself a favor. Moshe Rabbeinu had so many chusim. He did the Eibishter a favor. He did himself a favor. And when it comes to the Eibishter, you relate to the Eibishter of Aklein Kint. You don't come to the Eibishter and say, give me because I deserve. Give me because you're the Bashefer. Give me because you're the Eibishter. Five. Second column, page 621. Five. You see it? In the middle of the page. Tzadikim, Akada, Shbarach, Oysa, Oysa, Mekka. Tzadikim, Hashem makes them important. Vehein, Eisin, Atzmon, Tfelim. They make themselves secondary. Hashem makes tzaddikim important, and tzaddikim de-emphasize themselves. Tzaddikim de-emphasize themselves. What does that mean? What does that mean? I'll use some hippie words, see if you can relate to it. A Rebbe, and again, this is something which unfortunately is hard for you to relate to because you don't know the Rebbe personally, but you do know the Rebbe personally. If you needed to know the Rebbe personally, the Eibishter would have made sure you knew him physically. You all know the Rebbe. The Rebbe was a transparent man. You know what transparent means? He was completely see-through. The Rebbe didn't take up any space. The Rebbe was the big tzaddik. We gave him so much covet. And we revered him and we almost worshipped him. The Rebbe himself took up no space. Every person looked at the Rebbe and they saw a mirror of themselves. Every person, 100 people looked at the Rebbe, and they saw 100 Rebbes. You know why? If you're a Matthias, if you take up space, somebody looks at you, they can't help but see you. When you looked at the Rebbe himself was a built-in Matthias. His whole existence was completely transparent. When you looked at the Rebbe, you completely saw yourself. In Machon Chana, there was a sign hanging on the wall, which is so to the point. Many people are great because they get others to believe in them. The Rebbe was great because he got people to believe in themselves. The Rebbe sent shluchim. The Rebbe conquered the world. The Rebbe made such a revolution. The Rebbe was so uncomfortable when people complimented him. The Rebbe was so disturbed when it was about him. It was always about the purpose. Or as the Rebbe would say, about the benkel, about the chair, about the tzaddik Rebbe. Tzaddikim, the Eibishter makes them great, and tzaddikim are completely transparent. How many times did you watch, do you watch Dallas? Girls, you ever watch Living Torah Dallas? You see it all the time. People come to the Rebbe and say, Rebbe, you gave me advice, and it helped me. You gave me a blessing, and it helped me. And the Rebbe points and says, I only give over the powers that were given to me. He points at the Eibishter, up. I only communicate the information, the knowledge, the know-how that I receive from the Eibishter. It's always about the Eibishter. It's never about the tzaddik. Okay, now we're out of time. Is that what it means? Out of time. So let me do this more quickly. Six. Six is on page 16, 20. This is a very, very important one. This is a very, very important one. 16:20. Tzadik zeich aloi. A tzadik merits for himself. Ulachol hanitbokin boy. If you're attached to a tzadik, you ride on the tzadik's coattails. If you're connected, you're makusha to a tzadik, you could be not 100% the way you're supposed to be. The schus of the tzadik lifts you and carries you. The Rebbe, just like we are makusha to the Rebbe is makusha to us. Each of us who listens to the Rebbe and attaches ourselves to the Rebbe consciously, just like we're attaching ourselves to the Rebbe attaches himself to us, and he takes us. He takes us where he goes. He lifts us to places. He deals with our problems in ways that we cannot deal for ourselves. Again, if I had more time, I would talk about this more. Page 16:21, second column, five from the bottom. Tzadikim yedim lefates es bereihem. Tzadikim know how to, lefates, in English it means to seduce, to work over the Eibishter. They know how to change the Eibishter's mind. Tzadikim know how to negotiate with the Eibishter and tell the Eibishter, nein, Eibishter, ich will azoi. The Eibishter wants this, and tzadikim say, I want different, and the Eibishter listens. But tzadikim never do it for themselves. Tzadikim do it for others. Now, the bottom of the first column, page 16:21, this is 8. By you it's probably numbered as 1, right? 16:21. Tzadikim, goyrim, umaysifim, aldavarav shalakadosh baruch hu. Tzadikim change. 16:21 at the bottom. The same page as before. Okay, the bottom of the first column, 16:21. Tzadikim, goyrim, tzadikim diminish, umaysifim and add, aldavarav tzadikim change the words of the Eibishter. Creations should be afraid of the Eibishter. Tzadikim sometimes will quote a pasuk, a gemara, and say it's different than it's written in the original. We're not allowed to do that. But tzadikim do this. There was a big tzadik, his name was Remeir of Primishlane. The mayor of Primishlan, there was in the city of Primishlan, there was a Magefa Nebuch. And children were dying. Children were dying. And it was Pashas Ketzaveh. So he said like this. He said, Taira, the Polish Hasidic Rebbes were big tzaddikim. And they were able to do this. He says, Va'ata Ketzaveh. And you gave instructions. As B'nai Yisrael V'yitcho Elacha. That they should bring to you little Yiddish kinder. Shaman, next to shaman, the brain of Shalala. You should be ashamed of yourself. Shame. Shaman means oil. He said, you're the shaman, you should be ashamed of yourself. And the Magefa stopped. The plague stopped. The Kindle stopped dying. Okay, two more. Two more, and I'll let you all go. It's on page 1619. Two more, and I'll let you go. The first one says, Tzadik Echad Lafonav. The Ibish has one Tzadik before him. Shokol Kaneged Kol Ha'olam is equal to the whole world. Right, the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva was teaching his students Torah, and they were falling asleep. Rabbi Akiva wanted to get their attention, so he said to them, there was a woman in Mitzrayim who in one pregnancy had 600,000 kids. In one pregnancy. So they all woke up and said, excuse me? So he said, yeah, Yechevet had 600,000 children in one batch, in one cluster. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was Nasi Yisrael, and a Nasi Hu Akel, he was equal to Kol Klal Yisrael, so she carried 600,000 kids at once. And finally, the last one is the one you guys know from Tanya Perek Aleph. The wording is changed. Tzadik Echad Ma'amid Eseilam Ayesede. One tzadik stands the world on its foundation. Okay, this is, you keep these papers, read, you'll enjoy. Okay, thanks for listening, girls.